Well, last week we began the closing sugya, the climaxing sugya of the halachas of Vas V'Chalav, Siman Sadi Zayin, which is organized primarily around this Din Drabanan that appears twice in Maseches Pesachim as well as elsewhere. There's the Issur Drabanan. There's Issur Drabanan about milchig bread or fleishig bread. Chazal were concerned because traditionally people ate bread with everything. So if we're going to allow you to have milchig bread or fleishig bread, there's a concern. Either I'm only going to eat it with the appropriate type or with para, but there's a concern that bread gets around. I'll end up eating the milchig bread with fleishig food. I'll end up eating the fleishig bread with milchig food. So Chazal made a gzeira that appears here several times in Maseches Pesachim and elsewhere that we consider to be trach. You're not allowed to have the milchig or fleishig bread at all, even with its own type, even with parm, you cannot have it at all. Gzeira shem, you'll come, you'll fall in. So the Gemara in Lama Vav tells us that there's an exception. The exception is Ke'en Tura. The Machlokas, we showed him how to translate that, whether it means like a shar, that it looks like a shar or has some other shape or form that they're identifying heker that reminds you that this is milchig or fleishig, or it's ke ein tur, right? The size of an ox's eyeball, which apparently was a common shear. I'm not sure to explain that one. Whatever it is, lamasa, it probably was some cultural reference that we don't get. But lamasa, either that is the heker or that's small enough that you can eat it, you can finish it off right away, either one sitting or one day. So that reduces the concern. Either way, it reduces the concern of it hanging around and end up you forget how you're supposed to eat it. And we said halacha lamasa, we accept against the hesitation of the Bach, we accept both kulas. We accept both kulas, and then we, at the end of the last chabura, we pointed out, based on comments of the Rav in the Shiurim Bas V'Chalav and some of Rabbi Konigsberg's Ha'aris as well, when he published the Shiurim, that there seems to be a Pesach Shuvah quotes explicitly. There's a machlokas gedolei achronim about the nature of this iser, the gzeir drabanan. Do they remain merely a iser masa? You're not supposed to eat this item, or Chazal created a new chepsa machalos asurim. They actually gave it the status as an iser. That, as an aside, that's a sort of a larger question about Dimi Rabban in general. To what is in there are many classical achronim, Nesivus among them actually. Nesivus is famous for developing the idea that Isur and Rabbanan tend to be Isur Egaver, not Isur Echefta. That the Chazal don't actually change the metaphysical properties of the item. They just make a rule that you can't eat it. They make a rule that you can't do whatever it is. And we're mechuyev to listen to their rules. That's why the Nesivus develops the idea in Hilchos Mechira and Choshen Mishpat that if you violate Isur Rabbanan B'Shogeg, you don't need to do tshuva because you didn't do anything wrong. The iser is it's not inherently treif. It's that I'm obligated to be obedient to the standards that Chazal set down. So if there was, the issue is the merida, not that it's intrinsically wrong. That's how the Nesivus is developed, and that's how he explains the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That in terms of mekach tos, we differentiate between accidentally selling someone something which is treif min haTorah versus accidentally selling someone which is treif min drabanan. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam: if you recognize before you ate it up, obviously you can get a refund. But how about if you only realize after you ate it that it was treif? There, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch differentiate it. Machalos is daraisa, you can get your money back, even though obviously there's no item to return. But if it's machalos is rabbanan and you already ate it, and then only subsequently you realize it was treif, then there's no refund. So the Nesivus explains in his commentary on Choshen Mishpat, yeah, that's because you ate it, it's daraisa b'shogeg, you did something wrong, b'shogeg. It's a drabon mishog. You didn't do anything wrong. There was no merida because I did it out of good intentions. But that's Nesivus is famous for formulating this notion that Yisur and Rabbanan are tend to be Yisur Gavra. It's actually fascinating that here it's the same Nesivus, Rabbi Yaakov Loberbaum, who wrote on Choshen Mishpat, Nesivus HaMishpat, wrote in Yerodeah, the Chavos Das. Ironically, he's the one here who argues that this is an Esur Hefza, that's Hanan. Interesting. While Rabbi Yonatan Ibishitz is the one who's crazy to place you, so no, he thinks it's doesn't become inherently trait. And that's why they argue over whether it's fixable afterwards. The Siva says, in the Chavos Das, once it's baked, you can't add a hecker later, you can't, whatever cane tura means, you can't add a hecker, you can't make it, you break into smaller pieces. Abishai says you can. We saw perhaps Konigsberg pointed out there may be the dispute between the Shach and the Gilim Marsha we saw last time. The Shach seems to entertain the possibility if you're not sure that it became fleshit, the case of Zav, the Ramah discussed, where you have and baking part of the bread, but there was some leakage from the flesh from the meat pie. We're not sure whether or not it hit the dough. Specifically before it baked. So the shach seems to entertain the possibility. They say, sex fake up. It may not have even touched it. Even if it did, I may or may not end up eating this bread with milk. And Marsha says, well, that's not a second suffix. It doesn't matter what I end up doing. It's usher to eat the bread, period. That sounds like Magid Marsha is saying it's usher be'etzem, and the Shach is saying just usher shema, just exeir shema. I mean, it is exeir, but how? What's the nature of the din? And that was the wrapper issue as well. Rav quoted from his father, he thought that the wrapper is fine. So you have to go to the Pnei Rav. While there are those who've held, it has to be a hecker on the item itself, which sounds like it's a similar type of issue. And finally, the Rav and the Shurim discussed bracha achrona. And when I make a bracha achrona, do I see this as a chefza shel eser? No, it's kosher food. I'm not allowed to eat it. Okay, that's where we had left off last time. I'm sorry. So I've been trying to figure this out. I haven't gotten 100% clarity. There definitely are items that are packaged with an OUD. With other hashgachas will give whatever the hashgacha is with a D. However, So that's what's interesting. I'm not sure if they really rely on emotional salvation kula absolutely. The dairy designation on the package is fine, or it's together with some other tzir for some other tzad lahakol. For instance. Well, for starters, most OUD, the vast majority of OUD products, baked goods, there are not, number one, if it's obviously milchig, cheese Danish, that's the best came to it. That's not an issue. You don't need the wrapper for that. When it's not obviously milchig, I think most OUD items are not obviously milchig. Are naparnas. You'll have crackers that have no milchic ingredients, but they're made on milchic equipment. There hasn't been kosher since it was used for milchics. So there. Again, mikra din, that's par. We're machmir. I must say we ought to be machmir, but we don't impose. Pashas, we do not impose this gezer jabon. Certainly, but sirf with the wrap, with the D in the hashkafa. Or let's say English muffins. English muffins are mamish milchik. They have dairy, sometimes I think even multiple dairy items in the ingredients. But there, not only do you have the dairy designation on the wrapper, but it is distinctively an English muffin. You can tell. So that's what some argue. It's a question. Is that, do you call that Ke'in Tura? You call that Kain Tura. There's nothing about the inherently looks milchik, but it is distinctively an English muffin. So those who know, then Shmafin's a milchik. But again, so there are two arguments to be made. Maybe being an English muffin itself is Kain Tura, plus you have the wrapper. But I am not, it's not clear to me, I haven't yet found someone who can give me a definite answer. Do they rely on the OUD alone, or is there always the OUD Betzir for the other Sadim Lahakal? And then one last Sad Lahakal would be this Maharit. So Tshuva quotes the Maharit, shows you how much eating styles have changed. He says, Maharit was makel to have fleshic bread. You can't have regular meal bread, you can't be fleshic. But if you're going to have a dessert, which is fleshic, he says, that's fine, because who would eat a dessert with cheese? So interesting how eating styles have changed. Nowadays, you say, who would eat a dessert item with meat? You can think of milk dessert, a power of dessert, but who eats flesh with the dessert? So we would say the other way around. Let's say I have a milk, a chocolate chip cookies. Let's say I can make chocolate chip cookies with butter in the dough. Make it extra rich. My wife's chocolate chip cookies are always fine. But let's say someone else wants to make, I just have to make that disclaimer. But let's say someone else wanted to make milk cookies. Did you make time? Again, you gotta think about the Kain Tura. Let's say you're gonna make a cake. Make a cake. Or cookies. So if it's obviously milk, that's fine. If there's something nicker about it, that's fine. But if I'm making the same, they look the same as all the other chocolate chip cookies, but this batch happens to be milk, so I'll be pashas. That's pasha in Osha B'chol of the trade. I can't even eat it alone, or I can't even eat it with a glass of milk. Marit said, no, dessert. I might eat, if I have a milchik of bread, I could imagine having a slice of deli on an English muffin, but no one's having a slice of deli on a chocolate chip cookie. That's the Marit Tzvah. So Rabbi Neuberger thought that we would not rely on the Marit alone. As he thought, in the kitchen, you should not, you know, he did not think that you should make milchik desserts. Al samach that, you know, the Maharit, well, we're not going to eat with, no one's going to eat with a piece of meat in it. No. But it could be, I'm not sure, it could be that the kashrus organizations are, the Maharit is a legitimate shita, so it could be there being mitzvah of the Maharit together with, that's what I'm not sure about. It could be that they're relying on the dairy designation alone, or they rely on the dairy designation with other clues.
So that
piece
that's all baked goods and not just bread?
L'chaorah, it's whatever. Lechem is a pre existing halachic category. And then there are several dinim d'oraisa that depend on the shem lechem. Matzah is one of them. If you could figure out a way to make farina, which is not chametzik, you still cannot be yotzei matzah's mitzvah with that. It would be kosher if you could figure out how to make it not chametzik. It would be kosher on Pesach, just like apples are kosher on Pesach. But apples are not matzah, and neither is farina because it's not lechem. The Torah says that it's lechem oni. So lechem oni means number one lechem, and number two whatever oni means. Not matzah shira, lechem shalom al gavar. The Gemara Pesachim is a whole slew of. Actually, that's one of the amudim we were on last time. Kaf lamed vav. That's where Kein Tura appears. But before you get to the oni, it has to be lechem. So in theory, the din d'orais of lechem with respect to matz, with respect to benching min haTorah, with respect to hafrashos challah, so that includes cookies as well as much as bread. For the din d'rabbanan of brachos, so Chazal subcategorized lechem into two types of lechem. There's meal bread and snack bread. Pasba b'kisnin, alpifashis, machlokas, we showed him a chorim exactly how to define pasba b'kisnin. The simplest understanding is that it's a bread whose tzura indicates that it's intended for snack purposes rather than for meal purposes. But it's whatever the rules are for defining lechem, chameshes mine dagan, and some combination of dough as opposed to batter and or baking as opposed to cooking. And there's a tzuras halechem, tor halechem, whatever it takes to be lechem, pasba b'kisnin has it too. You make a big enough batch of cookies, you have to be out for shalom. So Alpi Pashtos, that's going to be true for Din Drabbanan also. Kol Tikkur Rabban Kein Daris HaTikkun. If a Din Drabbanan of Pasakim versus Bishalakim, Pasakim is defined by the same Daraisa category of Lechem. Offhand, the Chazal made a Din Drabbanan about Pas Shani Lo Shebechala, which you would think it would depend also on the pre-existing Daraisa category of Lechem. Unless you say, that's why the Maharid is not the obvious approach. On the other hand, in terms of the Tama Takana, you can make an argument that the Tama Takana doesn't apply. The question is, does the Tama Takana matter? So by some Xeris more so, by some Xeris less so. We do know the Gemara tells us Ke'en Tur is Mutter. So Ke'en Tur is Lechem, but that doesn't have a shame Lechem. So that's the space of the Marit occupies. To what extent does Kain Tura tell me that here it's really built around not just typical halacha categories, but you know subcategories that have more of a chashash? Okay, so that's a recap, and some of we left a number of these closing points open. That's in terms of the halacha lemaisa. I want to now move towards the Sif base. Then Mirz Hashem for next week we'll zero in on Sif Gimel, and next week maybe if we complete Sif Gimel next week will be our closing Chabur and Hilchos Bas Chol. Exciting thought. It's been a Baruch Hashem a long and hopefully fruitful journey. As this chapter draws to its completion, and we'll figure out the next chapter, which maybe at least for until Pesach could maybe Tfilas Kelim is the way to go. So let's take a look here. With Daf Lamed, he had this din of a lashon to isa b'chala. In lash kala pas asura, or pas kula asura the hergel of era. Now the din appears in Sif Aleph, and then the Braisa goes on to have a second case, which is the topic of Siv Beis. Kayotze Bo, similarly, going on to Lama Beis, Ein Toshin a Satanur Ba'alya, Vim Toshka La Pas Kula Asura Chiyasik a Satanur. I'm not allowed to rub down the walls of the oven with Alia, with the tail of the animal, which was a particularly fatty part of the animal. And if you did, all the bread you're going to make in there is usher until you burn out the oven. Until you burn out the oven. Now, so why is that? Okay, that's because this is the apparent equivalent of pas sheni lo shebechal. It could be chal or kibaser. Either way, it's all the same. Here's an example of fleishig bread. So fleishig bread is similarly treif, and the only way I'm going to make sure that bread that I make in this oven that has been greased down with schmaltz, that any bread going forward is not going to be fleishig, they'll stay par, as if I'm masik the tanner. Okay, now as an aside, just to talk for a moment about the larger context here. Actually, not. We'll come back to the larger context. Let's first focus on this din. So this din appears in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch at Tanur should talk about Aliyah Siv Beis in open, but pass Achi Asikeru. You're not allowed to bake bread in the schmaltz oven, brick oven. So you adhere the pita to the wall of the oven. Or a taboon, even if it's a movable clay oven, I can't, maybe it would be easier to light a fire on the outside, that's not good. You need Hesek Nibifnim. Where does that piece come from? They need Hesek Nibifnim. That's from the Hemshech HaGemara. Because the Gemara, the context is a larger kashri context. That's what the Gemara is talking about here. There is an interesting machlokas, a laman of an olive. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but the kederes of Pesach and Shaveru, the two dots of laman of an olive. Rav's other opinion, you got to break all the pots. Break all the pots. What does that mean? Or Pesach. Meaning they had clay, but the typical pots were clay pots. So Rav said, look, you're not going to kosher the pots. So the chametz stick. When Pesach, you're not using on Pesach. When Pesach is over, it's a chametz shavur al Pesach. The bli is a chametz shavur al Pesach. That's what the Gemara seems to understand. And we don't accept that. We don't accept that. We assume that there's no concern of bali rabbi masay in our Torah, and certainly no didra bana of chametz shavur al Pesach are bli. Only on actual chunks of chametz. Maybe chametz is nivlant to food. You have a tarubis of chametz within the food that potentially presents a problem of bali rabbi masay. That's the topic of the third parak of Masechta Pesach. Abel Ovin, when you say that the smallness of chametz and tarubis is the only issue of eating it, when you say there's enough chametz, issue of owning it. But the Gemara says, forget about food, if you have a bli of chametz in a kli, there's no bar rabbi must send the bli as a kalim. That's why there's no reason to sell your Pesach if chametz is a kalim. As a matter of fact, not only do you not have no need to, that actually will create problems, because then if they're metal or glass, you now have to kasher, you have to, excuse me, toll your kalim because you sell them to the guy. And there's no need, because we don't possibly carry specific shaveru. We assume that it's that there's no by rabbi matzah and the bli is pekel. You're not allowed to use them on Pesach, obviously. Put them aside and use them after. That's not possible. So in that context, the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Eli had that there was an oven. Someone had accidentally smeared it, lubricated with schmaltz. And he said that oven is straight forever. You can never get used on other things. You can never get used it for bread.
And I said, yes.
Yes.
The Gemara says it's not true. The Brisa says actually has to get him. But once you're masik it, you solve your problem. It's interesting. So Amar Leih Rava Ravina or Ravashi Nu Vechi Miach Bakel Lamed Beis Miachar De Toast of Rava Bar Eli. We shloved him up. You can kasher. So then I understand Rav. And this is why this sugya is quoted here. Why did Rav take their place in Yishaveru? Why didn't you kasher them? Yes, you can. Amalei. Rav Asher responds, Ravina, no. Hasam tarishot matecha. Zakum zeyus cheres. Who says we're talking about a clay oven here? We're talking about a metal oven. So you can kasher. Or the Gemara says, you got to talk about cheres. However, Habba Shal Kharis. Zeha Sekin of the Fnim, Zeha Sekin of the Chos. The oven you light the fire on the inside, where on the same side as where I touched the food, and that is an effective way of kashering Kharis. Kharis is difficult to kasher, but not impossible. If you do Hesik Mivifnim, that'll work. But the pots, where do you do the hasik from? They are meant to be in fire. They're meant to be in the fire from the outside, not the fire on the inside. But the food was nibbled from the inside. So that's not sufficient. I, the Gemara says, there's a level of hasik and bifnim. So let's make a fire on the inside of the pot. The Gemara says, no. We're worried that it's probably not built, it's not able to handle that type of heat. Like it will break. So even if it didn't break, we're worried. We don't allow you to kasher in a way that's potentially injurious to the kli, because often we're worried that that you're not going to do a good job because you're worried you're holding back. So we're not going to accept that type of kasher. That's what the Gemara says. That's why I book ya. You get this like mini oven. That's what Shulchan Aruch quoted. Usually, taking with the chutz, you light the fire from the outside. So you can't, you're not gonna. That's not gonna help. If you pile it in, fill up the whole bukhia with coals and let it set. But you're not. You don't have to hold it there. So we're not worried that chayes are gonna not keep the blow time torch there long. No, you just load up with coals. You walk away. You're not gonna mess around with the coals. You just leave them there. No concern of chayes. And that works. That works. Okay. We and this the Baliatosas talk about. There's a Gemara on Zvachim that indicates that you can. The Gemara seems to say in the 10th paragraph, Dav Chatos, the Gemara seems to say Tzadi Vavam Zayz, I believe it is. Tzadi Vavam Nal. Very short oven. Rav Tosis is very short. This is great. One of the few words on the oven is it seems to say that Chazar Lekivshonos is an effective way of kashering terrors. You put it back in the kiln. So that's another example of Hesekel with Mifnim plus, I show back in the kiln. Now, once it's in the kiln, you can't fish it out. Once the kiln's going, now you're not touching it for a while. It's incredibly hot. So that's another scenario where you're doing an effective hechshes that's physically effective and psychologically effective. In other words, it's strong enough to Hesekel with Mifnim, and so it's physically effective, and it's situation where I'm not worried about chayas, once it's in the kipshon, so we will accept that. That's a machlokas we've shown whether or not. Rav Yehuda and others get involved, but many assume that the chazar l'kipshon, it's aligned with what this Gemara appears to say. So now we come back to the Shulchan Aruch. Now we understand what he said. Even if it's shabuch, you can't do hesek with a chutz. If you can do hesek with a chutz, in an effective way, gesundheit. Okay. So that's the deal. So all that, no surprises. Except that, there's an interesting debate among the Rishonim, what exactly are you supposed to do here? Is actually Yasi Kenu? How about if I just clean this? I clean the surface. That's a debate amongst the Rishonim. I clean the surface, is that good enough for now? The dominant view of Rishonim is no. You have to actually Yasi Kenu. But what's the issue? The issue is, and this is though takes us back to two Sibanim, is the Bayatosa grace on cooking out because the vase and the pulling. Isn't this a not bar not? Pashin and Losha Bakalov, the first case in the Bryce, Sif Aleph in our seven, there the milk is actually an ingredient in the recipe. So that's mamish milk. So here, what? I didn't even bake it with milk. I just baked it in an oven that had previously been used for milk. Or previously used for kosher, that's the case. So who cares? Not for now. It's fire. It's fire.
Isn't it mamashus?
Oh, that's what we should always say. It must be that. It's not a question of Gliya. It's a question of you have an oven wall. We're worried that the oven wall is exposed to high heat, particularly if it's charis, but apparently even if it's nechosha, we're worried that it's not really going to be easily cleanable. It's not to wipe it down. Kinuach is not going to work. This is not a pot. This is not a plate. We don't think that just cleaning the surface in a typical way is gonna fully remove all. It's grooved. It doesn't allow for easy quinoa.
You skipped something. The question was the bread that's being baked in that oven. How did that become plates?
Right.
Now you're answering why you can't just clean it, why you have to burn it out.
Oh. So no, what we're saying is, thank you. What we're saying is, as the Shom said, it must be Alpi Pashtus. If you said like the Rivan, right, who limits Napa not Alu, okay, this is Nisbashlu, so this is a problem. If you also had the Rivan, and even Ashkenazim, the Machmur for the Rivan, they probably didn't, they don't hold like the Rivan, so then you have to say that this is a case where it's, where there's actually residue on the surface. That's why it's not Napa not. It's similar, not it's not the same, it's analogous, it's parallel to the discussion about the Sakin by the Davar Charev. Is there an exception to Napa not for the Davar Charev? No. It's the Shamnun is bad. So you were saying there's no reason to assume offhand you wouldn't assume not the Davar Charev. So that's why the predominant view is that the concern is because there was Shamnun. Why is there Shamnun? This? Because similar to the knife not saying, we're not convinced that you can just wipe down an oven oil. Again, their ovens are not saying they are.
Has a better handle than Rob says.
The truth is even our ovens. So it may not just be an issue of the grooves. Also, as we know from cleaning our own ovens, Shamnunis that gets baked on in an oven is a whole lot harder to remove than something in a pot or certainly a plate. Okay. It's interesting. That is how we assume the halacha, and it fits best with the sugya of Napa not. It should be noted that it means that the Gemara is making an interesting leap over here, because the Achi Asikenu is not really the same as the need is not the same as Kideres Pesach Yishaveiru. Kideres Pesach Yishaveiru is not just a matter of removing the end, it's a matter of taka kashering out the blias. So it's interesting that Gemara puts together. Okay, it has taka, we assume. Again, it may be it's a different need, but it's a parallel standard. Okay. Be that as it may, the Shaf does not comment on the Sif, or does he? So Sif Katan Beis in the Shach is about Sif Alf, Sif Katan Gimel Shach is about Sif Gimel. However, there's more than one place to find the Shach on the page. Because not only did he write the Shach, which is directly commented on Shulchan Aruch, he also wrote the Nekudas HaKesef, one of the great biblical puns on the page of Shulchan Aruch. Because the Taz, David Ako HaLevi, wrote the Turei Zahav. And the Turei Zahav, so we think of Tur with a test, it reminds of Abba Tur. The name of Yaakov Ben Harash, Yaakov Bar Asher, wrote the Tur, so he obviously used the terminology of Parsha Sitzav and Parsha Kuda. Ben David HaLevi, when he wrote the Sefer, so he punned the pun, because he's writing on the Turei Zahav. The Turei Zahav Nasalach in the Kudos HaKasav, the Pasuk in Shir HaShir. They're going to make golden pillars together with the dot, I believe that's the Torah right there. Together with that, they'll be having a little polka dots of silver. So Turei Zahav, Shir HaShir is spelled with a top. He's re-spelled it with a tess, so like spelling quick with a KW. And that was the brand name. He branded it because it's a play in Torah Zahav, but also about Tur with a test. The Shach took up the pun challenge, and his response to the Torah Zahav is the Kudos HaKesef. The Torah Zahav have to have the Kudos HaKesef. Torah Zahav not so often the Kudos HaKesef. So the Taz does come with the Sibbeis, and the Shach has what's the same response. It begins really with Sif Aleph. Because when the Ramon talks about what you do if then I wasn't trying to make kosher bread, but I had the meat pie in the oven at the same time as the meat pie is the tour, obviously. It's self-evident that it's kosher, and I had a loaf of bread, and now there's a stream of the grease coming out of the meat pie. Then what do you do? So the Taz, the Sif Katan Gimel, talks about an interesting, a shy that he got. Fascinating. Nishalti. I was asked the following child. Isha Shavsa Palad and Shasmina. She makes some sort of milk of the pie or pastry.
Right?
He makes the shoe. Vatanra Akarpishal on the floor of the oven. Below clean. She made it without a usual, put it with a pan. But for some reason, she put it in the pie, just the pie crust. Whatever. Okay? Directly on the floor of the oven. The Akakaf Sama Shav Kidair Shabasar Osaka. Oh, Sama Kushaya applies. Then, later on, a different time, she put a. A hot pot of fleshik on the very same spot on the floor. This time there was a plate, exactly. This time there was a plate. And because this time there was a plate, that's the saving grace. Taz goes on to say, Hashab, she ain't kind of sir. No problem. Why? When the Kharsi Shalkan or Shabalum and Akhalam, the clay floor of the oven that was boleya directly from the cheesecake, logora mikideir shavashim sohaho. It's no worse than a milk of kapat. The milk of kideir shavasa, the milk of kapat that touches a hot fleshik pot. That's the zit that we had earlier. The end of Simin Sadi Beis. Shnei there should know gazoo gazoo. Are not a problem. Two dry, clean kalim that touch each other. Even if they're both hot, no bliya jumps one to the other. That's the principle. That's an application of the principle. Ain't about lua yotze below rote. Once a flavor that's absorbed into a kli, I can't extract it without some sort of meaning. Grease, food, liquid, it has to be something. It's not just going to jump from one place to the next place. If the hot milk and hot flesh are touching each other, unless something spills over the side, if they're both clean and dry on the outside, nothing happens. And we discussed that when we're on Simon Sadi Beis, that's the basis for wanting to wrap things, or double wrap things. Double wrap it so then in between the two wraps, a foil, nothing can travel. That's why double wrapped it doesn't conduct any time. It's impervious to everything. But that building in there, shape cares and no gazoo gazoo. So even if I'm going to put my double wrap pan on a crepe surface, on mamish grease, the outside foil becomes straight, but nothing jumps on the outside foil. Shake so shape there is and no gazoo gazoo. Now, the Taz says, you might say not so fast. Because the Ramah says the minigas have different parts of my oven for the milk, for the pies, which might be fleishik, and the bread. And that filahu b'machavas, Ramah says in the Sefal, no galah milchafila. We would avoid, even if it's in a pan, we would avoid putting it in the wrong spot. Ramah, so Taz says, I said it, there's no issue as long as it's in the pan. Says, that was a. The chatchila should avoid.
If you all is well, let's see. So he says that Rav Hamnuna had his weird case. Is the second. Right.
That's fine.
As long as against Rav, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When he challenged Rav, say, the Mishnah states that one who swore false is five times, because we said before. Rav was going to offer why each other reasons because why can't he use the jury? He could have admitted that he owes the money.
I won't remember doing the chatchila. And then the shach nekudas hakesef, and oh, in my dish it's osa aleph. He actually attacks the taz more. It's not the same as shnei kederos. Over there the iser is balua. But here the iser is b'miyavachutz al atana. What's he saying? So I believe he's not attacking the taz's tshuva. I think he's attacking the way the taz is understanding the ramah. And I think what he's saying is. It's easy to understand why the Ramah is different. You don't have to work so hard. The difference is, Ramah is talking about caves where there's real gook on the surface, on the floor. There were things that were being zobbed. We're worried about flow. We're worried about grease marsh flowing. So then that means you're putting it not on a clean clee to put, have to shake it there, but there's grease in between. The attack is a problem. That sounds like that's what the Shach is saying. And that spills over into the next of cotton as well.
He could have retracted with him.
That flows over to the next Sif cotton as well.
Sometimes
they use
the English phrase. They're just saying
that he owned the money. Exactly, not testifying in base. Because the Taz is Sif cotton. Bay is Sif cotton. Dal, it's not Yasikenu. Why Yasikenu? Why isn't it sufficient to merely clean the surface? As the Gemara Mashal says, and hey, by a car or a container, you can clean the surface. Dafka tan or not? Why not?
That's a risk.
Because by the ovens it doesn't work because it's baked on or because it's more groove. And then he says, don't now turn around and attack my chuva in the previous of cotton. Karkar shel tanur is like bliya b'kedera. Here it's iser be'en. Why was he assuming that you had the milk and cheesecake directly on the oven floor, and then subsequently you put down a flesh of pot there? Why not say that's also Ben? He says, look in your oven. When you make these platen pies, you'll notice that they're dry underneath. They don't leave a wet spot. They don't leave moisture. The Rambam was talking about a case where you're making a type of tashnita that sometimes has a grease flow. Okay, you have to figure out if it's a talking concern of yeah, that's a problem. If not, it's not the not. Yes, then yes. You have to figure out what the story is. But just to put the platen down, it doesn't leave anything. Unless Taz says, everyone says, well, there'll be some flow, then you'll notice it. But stop, you put it down once without the pan, and afterwards it was dry. So dry is dry. So again, said, well, what's at play here is...
No.
It's a question.
Has the freedom, which has become...
The idea of straight there is no but only if there's no moisture or grease left behind. And then the Shach has one more. I think, again, understand what the Taz is saying here explains what the Shach's tab was in the previous one. And then we close with one more Nakuda to keep in mind. Sorry, no point in there. He attacks this Taz too. He says, you want to know what's the difference? Why are we machmir in Siv Beis? The brisa, they can't bake the pas in the Tanah Shel Tocha Ba'Aliyah. Why is it different than the Taz's kula in the previous Siv Katan? So he says, the Taz gave an answer which is true but unnecessary. That, you know, in the previous Siv Katan, sorry. Over here we're talking a case with his mom is grease. Shach says there's something else you can say. Over here we're talking about adhering the bread directly to the wall. That's not shekederis. Food touches a kli, of course. A hot food in a dry kli, of course, is bliya. That's the ABCs. That's how the Shach wraps this up. So we had a chance to see, number one, that the bright Siv Beis, the second half of the brisa, which no one makes it explicit, that fleishik bread is also just as milchik bread is also. And but it says, of course, the Rambam, the Rajba, Ka'en Tura is Matir both. And then the other aspect that the second case in the Braisa adds, Siv Beis adds, is it's a step removed. It's not milk and fleshik in the ingredient list. It's milk and fleshik. Oven wall that created the problem. And we saw the Gemara, if it's not a question of Bliya, at the very least the Gemara treats it somewhat similarly. Because the type of hesek that you need to burn off all the grease is going to be similar to the type of hesek you need to kasher. The Taz and the Shach had important conversations, and rich conversations about The scope and limitation of shteker there is a no gazuzu, which brings us up to our topic for next week. Amram comes on and passes around. For the last sif takes us. The last sif is also officially.
Frustration and embarrassment
because it's
towards
this
Latia.
I don't know if it'll be
very difficult. About some sort of din of Fleishik. Of Fleishik bread. We'll see, it may not be the same. Maybe it's not quite as usser. Why is it a question? At least somewhat Fleishik bread. This is drawn not from Laman Vav, but from Ayin Vav in the seventh paragraph. Moving to the second paragraph, the seventh paragraph. And this is a take of the issue of an oven. Daf Ayin Vav in Psachim is one of the most significant dafim in Shas outside of Chulin for the world of Yisrael. Ayin Vav of Aleph has been the primary source for much of Simon Sari Aleph. With Ilah Gavar and Tata Gavar. Ayin Vav of Beis is about questions of ovens. I bake bread in the same oven that while I'm using the oven as well to grill a piece of meat. So is that inflation? Bread is a part of a bread. And a series of such questions. So this really is going to be the inflation bread, but inflation bread crossed with issues of ovens. And this becomes, in Basar Bachala, Hilchos Basar Bachala, one of the primary addresses for issues of ovens. We already had a little bit of this in Simon Sadi Beis, but this closing sif is very significant. It's going to bring us not only to the Sugya in Psachim Daf Ayin Vav, but as you see, the Rambam comes also to the Sugya in Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Vav. And we'll be looking at the two or three issues. One issue is Zeya, and the other one is Recha. Zeya or Hevel. The other one is Recha. Is actual condensation versus just the fact that there's a smell. We'll see the machlokas in the Gemara. How much do we care about Recha? Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa, how impactful is it? Zeh is definitely impactful, but Zeh only applies when there actually is condensation, when there actually is steam. So we have to see how then the Rishonim a lot of discussion about bigger ovens, smaller ovens, old ovens, new ovens, with events, without events. We have to figure out what this means for our ovens and for our microwaves, covered, uncovered, already is discussed here in Shulchan Aruch. And how this all plays out with our ovens is an important issue. And, of course, I say this is a good segue because Shteka Derech and Nogazu Buzu is, again, the ultimate solution. When you're not sure whether the Tanner is a problem, or when you are sure that the Tanner is a problem, Shteka Derech and Nogazu Buzu can still insulate me against any problems. If I double wrap it, so then no matter how much tarfas may be flowing around, even if it's more than just the Zeya or the Rechab, it's mamish, I put my pan of food down on the oven rack, and mamish had like curls of bits of bacon remain on the oven rack, but it was double wrapped. Shteker Derech, it was the two layers of foil relate to each other. Shteker Derech, no gazoo bazoo, and the outer layer of foil is going to be treif, the inner layer of foil will remain kosher, and therefore the food within will remain kosher as well. But that's the closing sif. Appropriate, I think, that gets us into oven issues, which are definitely a big issue.